Brussels is under attack. Two explosives have hit the departure area of the airport in the city. Another explosion has been reported at the metro station close to EU institutions. The whole metro system has been closed. The Belgian government has confirmed casualties. The Belgian broadcaster VRT is saying that at least 13 people are dead and 35 seriously injured. What we're going to be doing this morning is trying to stay with this story. We do have reporters on the ground, and we're going to be seeing if we can bring you exactly what's happening. I want to dip into the BBC News channel straight away this morning because there's a reporter at the scene of the blast. Let's just dip in and listen to Ben Wright, who's at Brussels Airport this morning, and get the latest.
Two explosions, it seems, in the departure area of the main international airport. Quick evacuation followed. There was chaos. There are pictures of glass and smoke in that departure terminal. We tried to get here. We're stopped at the slip road that leads to the airport. We started to see people wheeling luggage from the airport back down that road, while loads of emergency vehicles from the police, the fire services, ambulances streamed up towards the airport. There are people standing around here now, many with luggage, looking confused, wondering what on earth has happened. The local, the national media, Flemish media, is reporting that 13 people have dead. That number has jumped in the last half an hour or so.
Initially, so you're listening to BBC Radio Ulster. We're trying to bring you the very latest with our colleagues who are on the ground, BBC colleagues who are on the ground in Brussels. Here's what we know so far. We know that a blast has occurred also at the metro station near the EU institutions. We know that at this airport that the local broadcaster, VRD, that's the Belgian broadcaster, is reporting that 13 people, at least 13 people, are dead and 35 people seriously injured. We can speak to Matt Carthy, who is a Sinn Féin MEP. Matt, where are you this morning?
I'm in the European Parliament. Matt, how's it going?
EU staff are being told to remain indoors, Matt, correct?
Yeah, there's still a lot of confusion, as you can imagine, Stephen. Our first concern this morning was to make sure all our own staff were safe and sound. Most of them had made it to the European Parliament by the time that any news started filtering through. We also had 120 visitors arriving from all over Ireland through different ways, including, I think, around 88 who were on a flight above Brussels when the first explosions went off. Now, they've been diverted to Amsterdam, and as far as we're aware, everybody's safe and sound. There was a number of others who were travelling, mostly from the north, actually, who had stayed overnight in London and who were on their way over by train. They've since turned back and are making their way back to Ireland as well. So from what we gather, everybody that we're aware of is safe, but we understand that there have been a number of people who were killed, unfortunately, at the airport. I'm not sure of any casualties as a result of the subsequent bombings at the metro stations. But obviously everybody here is a little bit nervous, wondering, you know, making sure that their own family and friends here in Brussels are safe. And then obviously there's lots of people back in Ireland who are making phone calls.
Matt, stay there. Stay there with me if you can, because Dave Keating is a reporter who is, you're near Brussels Airport, Dave, is that right?
Yes, I am. I'm actually at my apartment at the moment. I was on my way to the train station when the first news came out, so I came back, and now we're just waiting to hear, we're getting a lot of unconfirmed reports. We're just trying to figure out what's going on.
Were you close to the scene?
At the time, Dave, I was on my way. So I was out in transit, and so you could kind of see as people were getting the news about what had happened, you know, people started reacting, and then I just kind of turned around. I'm somewhere in between the airport and the EU quarter, where obviously a lot of the journalists here are based out of. The Malbec train station is just next to the International Press Center, where a lot of journalists work. Right now, it's just everyone's kind of communicating with each other and trying to figure out what's going on.
So as well as the explosion, we believe two explosions at the airport. A blast has been reported at the metro station. Now, David Garcia was on the metro this morning. David, what did you see?
Hi. Well, I was on the metro on the station Kunstwerk, and we felt a sound wave, a shock wave, that nobody around me thought that it would be a bomb. Then the metro started to move, and a few seconds later, it stopped in the middle of the tunnel. We were in the tunnel for 15 minutes. All the information was just a pre-recorded message saying that there has been an incident on the line. And after 15 minutes, we started to feel some smoke, and we were evacuated. Everybody kept calm. There was no signs of panic at all. And I just went out of the metro, walked to the Brussels Central Station, and it has been closed and evacuated. As I was arriving there, so not sure.
So can you confirm this morning, David? Because obviously details are sketchy so far. You heard a blast on the metro,
yes.
Did you?
Yes.
Was it in the metro station or on the metro carriage?
I was in the carriage, and we felt it. Even with the doors closed, we felt it. We felt the blast.
Just say that again for me, Dave.
Yeah, we were in the. I was on the in the carriage in the metro station of Kunstwerk. As far as I know, the explosion was on the one of the next two stations, either Schumann or Malbec. And felt the blast.
And where did people go when they walked out then?
We were walk out to the Kunstwerk station. It was the one we just left.
And where are you now, David?
In front of Brussels Central train station. I was checking if I could take a train back home, but the station has been shut down and everybody inside has been evacuated.
Are there big crowds around you? Can you describe the scene? Maybe if you look around me, you could describe the scene for me.
Lots of people on the street, almost everybody on their phones, either calling or texting. From what you can hear it, lots of police cars driving around, ambulances. And but people stay calm. You can feel the nervousness, but people is calm.
The service you called has cleared.
Sorry, let's just clear the line down. Obviously, someone has dropped off the line there. If you are just joining us here on BBC Radio Ulster, we're trying to bring you the very latest from Belgium this morning, from Brussels this morning, where we know that there have been at least two explosions inside the airport. The local broadcaster is reporting that at least 13 people are dead and 35 people seriously injured. There is a report of another blast, a separate blast at the metro station. We were speaking to David Garcia there, who is still with us this morning. And you say, David, that people were able to leave the metro in a calm fashion, but obviously you must be worried at the moment, and you will want to get home and get safely home.
Yes, indeed. I'm nervous. At least I could say to my family in Spain and my wife here in Belgium that I'm safe. So they are calm for that. But I don't know how can I get back home. Yeah, so far the train seems not to be running, and probably I will see what I can do. Maybe buy a bike and bike home.
Okay. David, we'll let you go. Thank you very much indeed. Matt Carthy, the Sinn Féin MEP, still with us this morning. Just remind us where you are, Matt.
I'm in the European Parliament here in Brussels, David.
What is the mood inside that building?
I suppose nervousness would be the best way of describing it. People are still unsure as to what exactly has happened. Obviously, I suppose, the predominant thought that people, particularly those who live here and work here on a permanent basis, is to ring their flatmates, their friends and others just to make sure that everybody's safe and sound. And then obviously there's the logistical issues that need to be dealt with. So you know, we've sent a memo around to all our staff here informing them that if they wish to go home to do so, to go back to their apartment or whatever the case may be. We had the nature of these things is that there's obviously lots of meetings and events that are being held all the time, but this is a particularly busy couple of days for us. As I say, we had 120 people travelling over to participate in a series of events to mark the 1916 centenary. So obviously we just have to deal with all of that, as well as actually making sure now that everybody who was en route gets back home to Ireland as quick as possible, as safe and sound. So, for example, I mentioned we'd 88 people travelling on an Aer Lingus flight from Dublin this morning. They've landed in Amsterdam. So you can imagine there, and with all the airports that would be within a relatively short distance, they're complete confusion as people are trying to figure out what's the best scenario, whether it's to make their way to Brussels on buses or to return back to their country of origin. Certainly our advice to the people who landed in Amsterdam is to try and arrange travel back to Ireland. The advice we're getting here in Brussels is that the institutions and most public buildings will be on lockdown until the police and others get a handle on what exactly has happened and whether or not it's likely that there will be any follow-up incidents.
Obviously, there will be different details coming into us this morning, and these numbers may very well change as this story unfolds. And what we will do this morning is we will tell you the source of the information during the programme this morning. So we have told you that the Belgian broadcaster VRT is reporting that 13 people have been killed and 35 people injured at the airport. Now, at this separate blast at the metro station, that same broadcaster, the Belgian public broadcaster VTM, is reporting that 10 people are dead from the metro explosion in Brussels. So...
Okay, Stephen, can I just leave you on that?
Of course you can.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much indeed. Good morning to you. 0330 80 55 55, if you want to feed in to just your reaction to this as you're possibly watching it on the television screens this morning. If you're out and about in the car, we will try to keep you across this story as much as we can. The Prime Minister, David Cameron, has said he is shocked and concerned by events in Brussels. We know that two airline check-ins were targeted, according to Belgian media. Two bomb packages went off in the departure hall of Brussels Airport. One was close to the SN Brussels Airlines desk and another near the American Airlines desk, according to Belgian media. The travel and aviation expert, Julian Bray, can join me now. Julian, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Good morning. Just as I'm looking at scenes here outside the airport, Julian, large crowds gathering, and that's exactly whoever has targeted this airport. They know that the departures lounge of an airport is vulnerable, Julian, clearly.
Yes, and it's been fairly cleverly, if you could use that word, executed. There have been two bombs went off in the departure hall, left near American Airlines check-in, which is near Gate B. So they evacuated. The evacuation was very, very orderly, and you didn't actually see from the television pictures a lot of soldiers around at the time. And the first one went off, I think it was about 8 a.m. Central European time, which is 7 a.m. UK time. And the whole point was that there were clouds of dust and smoke, and the whole of the front of the departure building is a glass wall. And that obviously shattered, and shards of glass everywhere, and probably caused quite a few injuries. They evacuated a lot of the airport passengers by coach, and others were let onto the tarmac out onto the airport apron. So they were trying to check baggage as well. They kept asking passengers to leave their bags behind, but a lot of people, of course, took them with them because obviously they want to check for other devices in case they've been slipped into luggage. There are reports, as yet unconfirmed, that the airport explosion was a suicide bombing, but that is unconfirmed at the moment. But frankly, there's so many bits of information coming in, it's not surprising.
And Julian, these airports will have, I presume, will have contingency planning in place and will have rehearsed this type of scenario. You can't rehearse, of course, to the finest detail because they're dealing with the unknown now.
Yes, they have various programs, major incident programs that they can put into play. And I understand that Heathrow Airport has already put theirs into play. So if you're heading towards that airport, you'll find that that is in near lockdown, although flights are still leaving. The Brussels Airport, of course, is closed. And any flights that were going to go into Brussels have been diverted elsewhere. So if you're heading towards Brussels or heading towards Belgium, frankly, there's not a lot going on because the entire city is now locked down.
Let me speak to Dr. Eric Grove, who is a security and terrorism expert. Eric, good morning to you.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning, Eric. What will the authorities on the ground in Brussels be doing now? Because we don't know if there are more attacks to come, and presumably that will be their concern.
Well, enhanced surveillance, and as you heard, the place is sort of locked down, high security presence and enhanced observation. Now they're at the highest level of alert. You know, there will be security forces deployed in some numbers. They're keeping their eyes open for potential extra attacks. It is conceivable there might be more attacks. It's the highest possible security presence and the highest possible level of surveillance and patrols, etc., etc.
As I watch these live scenes outside both the airport and the metro station, Eric,
yep.
There are a large amount of people. There are large crowds gathering, and that in itself is vulnerable.
That's right. Yes, I mean, if one wanted to sort of be really nasty in this attack, you know, you get the crowds out, and then you have another suicide attack. So people will be observing potentially, you know, potentially suspicious people. But it's very, very difficult. I mean, where you have large numbers of people gathered in one place, then there's a tremendous degree of vulnerability, and it remains to be seen how, shall we say, sophisticated these people are in their attack plans.
Yeah, local media is reporting that these blasts were a suicide attack, Eric. That's unconfirmed, but it's what Belgian media is reporting.
It seems likely, actually. Yes, I mean it's the easiest way, in a sense, if you've got people motivated enough to do it. Of course, Mr. Saleh, who was arrested, had second thoughts. But sadly, you are going to get people who are willing to immolate themselves and take a lot of people with them, mm-hmm. and there may be more suicide attacks. And clearly, in Brussels itself, there is going to be a very enhanced security presence, and people are going to want to see pictures of deserted streets and this kind of thing. And sadly, the terrorists have a lot of leverage in this situation, and they create terror, and that's what they're trying to do, you know, for sort of propaganda effect, and also to take revenge for the various actions that the security forces have been taking already to arrest people.
Well, look, these blasts come, it's 4 days now after the capture of Salah Abdeslam, the main suspect in the Paris attacks.
That's right.
And we do know that the authorities were very much readying themselves for some type of response.
That's
to,
right.
To Abdeslam being captured.
I mean, it was predictable in a sense that, in fact, you know, as you say, there would be a response, there would be retaliation. And it's very, very difficult to take action that can prevent it. I mean, you can't sort of close down all your airports and all your metros, etc. I mean, in a sense, that's the terrorist winning in a way, that if he or she can create this kind of effect. But it's very difficult to know what balance to take, because obviously you have to take some actions, you know, especially if it looks as if an attack is in progress. But on the other hand, you want to get back to normal as soon as possible. Otherwise, the terrorists will have achieved his or her objective.
There are photographs starting to emerge now. I'm looking at the picture of a blood-stained looks like mother. She has a young child with her walking out of the airport, and she's holding a handkerchief to her eye as there is blood on her face and her arms. Another man, a picture of another man who is lying on the ground. I'm not too sure if this is in the airport or indeed the metro station. And many, well, many pictures now.
Well, with the airport, of course, there's a lot of glass. I mean, glass is very, very dangerous. I mean, in any kind of explosion, if there is glass, one of the main, shall we say, injury mechanisms or kill mechanisms even is glass, because if you break it and it flies around, it is very dangerous indeed. And I'm sure there have been a lot of people injured by flying glass in these circumstances.
David Cameron is to chair a COBRA meeting today. This being reported just within the last few minutes, Eric. What will the British authorities be doing?
Well, looking very carefully at intelligence to see if there's any danger of this kind of attack spreading to other, spreading over the channel, and having a very careful look at what intelligence we have on these groups, and are there connections in Britain, and is there any danger of this kind of thing coming here too? I mean, I suspect it's more precautionary, and also without being cynical, you know, it looks as if, you know, some action has to be taken in these circumstances and this kind of...
I'm going to interrupt you, Eric, because we have an eyewitness this morning, Cecilia. Good morning to you, Cecilia.
Hi, good morning.
You work close to the metro.
Yeah, the metro Arrois, not the Malbec. We're one away from Malbec.
Okay. And what did you see this morning, Cecilia?
Well, it was just a normal Tuesday morning coming into work, and we just started hearing loads of ambulances and sirens, and around 8 o'clock, 8:15, and it's been nonstop since then.
So just to confirm, Cecilia, there are two metros, and you work close to one of them. Is that it?
No, there's the metro line that runs from Schumann to Malbec to Arlois. So Malbec is in between Schumann and the metro station where we're working at, Arlois.
And tell me again what you've been able to see this morning, Cecilia?
Just loads of military. They've set up camp outside the area. We can see from the streets, from our windows, that they're there barricading, obviously limiting no traffic coming in or out, no people coming in or out, and we just to give space for obviously for all the services, the ambulances, the police, the fire brigades.
I'm going to interrupt you, Cecilia, if you don't mind for 1 second and dip into the BBC News Channel. I believe an eyewitness is
running straight away.
Speaking on the channel now.
And it's not necessary either, but look, there was the metro station was packed. You know, like you said, the rush hour, the morning time, this whatever this is was obviously planned for this time. So there's just a sort of a general sense of confusion. There's a lot of people out in the streets. The soldiers were very quick to try and disperse crowds. But I think at the moment, like I said, it's just this general sort of consternation that's in. People aren't entirely sure of what's happening. And we're still trying to get as much information as we can, even on the ground here.
So what are you doing now?
So because that's an eyewitness speaking to her colleagues at the BBC News Channel. There are reports that people inside that airport at the time heard gunshots followed by shouting in Arabic. Jim Nicholson is the UUP MEP who can join us now. Jim, good morning to you. Thank you for talking to us. Where are you, Jim?
I have now just returned to my office in the Parliament building.
And where were you when the explosions happened, Jim?
Well, when the first explosions happened, I was just on my way from into the Parliament because we were voting in the committee this morning, and so I was just on my way in. And then after I arrived here and we got into committee, we heard that the bombs had gone off at Malbec Station and at Schumann, you know, both of which I just travelled past on the way in, by the way.
And Jim, the building that you're in, the EU building, it's close to this metro station, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, Malbec would be the local. There's two stations. One is a train station, Luxembourg, which is very close. The other's a tube station. Malbec would be the closest tube station to the Parliament, where lots and lots of people who work in the Parliament make their way through that every day coming here. And Schumann is the best way I can explain it to you. When you see all the sites on TV, when the big when the prime ministers are in the negotiations are taking place, Schumann is right there beside the big European Commission building. So these were designed to hit the vast numbers of people at a time when people were travelling to and from their work.
Jim, if you look outside, what can you see?
Well, you can see blue lights flashing. The police are and the army are now everywhere. People have been, all the train stations have been closed down. Trains have been stopped. Buses have been stopped. People are standing outside, milling around, not knowing where to go. Some people don't even know where they are. You know, they've had to get off a train in an area that they don't know. It's just usual confusion at a time like
Jim,
this.
Jim, I'm going to interrupt you because I believe there is an Irish eyewitness who's currently speaking to our colleagues on the BBC News channel.
Well, various different news outlets in one way. I'm also contracted working with the European Commission, so we have our own messaging service that comes from the European Commission Security Services who advise us that we stay indoors. And look, we just have our own networks, you know, if it's just a message from a boss or if it's a colleague saying this, that and the other. You know, obviously I'm getting a lot of information from Twitter as well, and lots of people are getting in touch online, either just to say, I hope everything's okay, or to say, here's what's going on.
Ian, stay safe. Thank you very much for joining us.
That's Ian McCafferty. Jim Nicholson, I'll just come back to you. Is the EU building in lockdown? If you wanted to leave, could you leave?
Yes, the Parliament building, I suspect when I came in this morning, it probably wasn't, but as I would say, it's now gone to, and Brussels has gone to the highest alert. To be perfectly honest with you, Stephen, I'm going to stay here to see what way things are, because as you know, quite clearly, this is not just one bomb going off at the airport. They have actually struck at the airport. They have also struck at the heart of what is the European area of Brussels, because the European area, which takes in the Council, the Commission and the Parliament, is basically probably a mile wide surrounding place, all very close to each other, where many, many people work. And so the truth is, with terrorism, as we know from Northern Ireland, you never know where they're going to strike again. So, we're sitting here, we've been kept informed, we're being told to sit tight. Telephones are going from one part to the other. Is everything okay on your end? And I know the people around Pont Schumann have been told, stay in your offices, don't go out, because until we find out. So, yeah, there's a large area of confusion. People are running to get away when the bombs go off. I was speaking to one person who was talking to someone who just had come out of the station at Malbec, and when the bomb went off, some people were coming out and they were covered in black and coughing and not knowing and all sorts of things, just too terrible to mention. And I've seen photographs of the departures area of the Brussels airport, and you know it's a miracle anybody survived inside of that. It seems to be flattened. So,
Jim, we appreciate you talking to us this morning. Thank you, sir. If you are just joining us here on Radio Ulster, there has been what looks like a terrorist attack on Brussels. We know that the first attack, the first set of explosions, took place at around 8 o'clock this morning, 7 o'clock GMT. At Zaventem Airport. Sometime later, a blast was reported at Malbec Metro Station. So two different targets for these explosions. One at Zaventem Airport, the other at a metro station called Malbec. That's close to the city's EU buildings. And there are quite a few of our, a number of our MEPs who are in Brussels this morning. The DUP's Diane Dodds is there. Where are you, Diane?
I'm in the Parliament, Stephen, which is quite close by the metro station at Malbec, where Belgian police are now reporting that 10 people have been killed. This is an absolutely tragic day for people in Belgium, and an absolutely senseless, awful act of terrorism.
Where were you when the explosions happened, Diane?
Well, this morning I was actually preparing to come up to the Parliament when my staff rang to say that there'd been explosions at the airport. It seems to be that these explosions are in the departure lounge, obviously a place that I walk through on a weekly basis. And then just after I had come into Parliament preparing for my normal committee work and my day's work,